I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Bub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
He is a 5-star
newsmaker.
What?
Hey, I'm hip.
Oh,
yeah, I would
do. Oh, the dog.
Speaking of comings of Jesus and things like that, you're an idiot, too. Ruff is an idiot.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Thanks, Isaac and Newt.
What an exciting time. Go out.
Give him hot milk. You know, we have little cookies.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pretty cringy. Pretty cringy.
I can't do the MJ cookies hot milk
hot
one,
milk.
Though. That one.
You know, we have little cookies. Cookie.
Is it how he says cookie?
It's the way he says it. It's what the content of the messaging. It's the whole thing. I just.
Knowing what it meant.
It's just. It makes my skin crawl.
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
Nice to have you along. It's a Friday night club before the holiday. By the way, one quick sports note. I'm going to tell you right now, the Royals are about to get no hit. I'm telling you that right now.
Nice.
So hopefully I've just jinxed it. But that dude, Framber Valdez for the Astros, seemingly throws a no-hitter every other time he pitches. And he has them no-hit through five. And I guarantee they won't get a hit. It is written.
Are you doing that thing that you're reverse jinxing it by putting it out in the universe?
Well, I'm trying.
Okay.
Let's see, what do we have here? We're going to have the top American cities that consume the most weed. Want to get to that. But first, I was mentioning that we have a bit of a debate to settle. Now, we have discussed this topic on the show before. But I'm not certain... Well, I know we haven't discussed this exact scenario... But it's the idea of buying drinks when you get a hole-in-one. If you don't golf, the sitch is that if you get a hole-in-one, you buy the drinks. And in some cases, for everyone. And I mean, like, everyone at the club.
Yeah, my understanding has always been, if you have an ace, when you get to the clubhouse at the end, like the 19th hole there, whoever's there... You owe him a drink. That's kind of how I've always understood it. As someone who wasn't a big golf guy initially and now have become more involved, but I always just thought it was just you buy drinks, at least one drink for everyone in the clubhouse.
So here's the scenario. Here's this particular scenario. Now, I've gotten several holes in one, and I've never done that. Of course, I play at Langdon, public track. I think it's a little different at a private country club. One time, God, I had a hole-in-one one time at Langdon. I've had three at Langdon and one at Columbia Edgewater. The one at Columbia Edgewater, I was with some members, and I did, I think, buy them drink. The guys in my... I was with Cam, I think, Cleland and Wamser and those guys, and I did buy them what they wanted. They were in my immediate group. Outside of that, I think Columbia Edgewater was flat-out disgusted that some peasant... came onto their course and got a hole-in-one, but they did give me a flag, which was great, and I love that course, And it was a cool moment. But the other three are at Langdon.
Yeah, flags!
And I remember wanting to buy drinks for people because, well, I think I was half in the bag. And then I was like,
I want to celebrate.
Yeah, let's play. And nobody took me up on it. Like, maybe
that's pretty lame.
I bought a few, but. So this scenario is specific because I do believe the hole-in-one etiquette, it could be a case-by-case thing depending on where you're playing, who you're playing with, how many people are there, what happened. So here is his debate. So I was fortunate enough to make a hole-in-one last week. I did it in my weekly golf league that has about 65 guys in it. After the round, I took my foursome out for dinner and drinks and picked up the tab. The guy who runs our league got on my ass for not coming into the golf course's bar after and buying everyone in the league a drink. I told him I took my playing partners out for dinner. I didn't know I had to buy an entire golf league drinks for an ace. He told me I'm supposed to. Most of our league is retired, and I'd say about 40 to 50 guys drink together at the golf course after the round, so I'm looking at about $250 to $300 spent, and I just don't feel like spending that. Me and my buddies who play are in our 20s, and these older guys are up my ass about not buying everyone a drink and saying us young people don't follow customs traditions, blah, blah, blah. I thought the practice is you buy the group you play with drinks, not an entire golf league. Any advice here? Well, this one's an easy one for me, Buckley. I don't know about you, but for me, he's right. He doesn't have to buy all those old white guys' drinks.
Yeah,
he shouldn't have to. Not only did he buy drinks for his playing partners, he took them out to dinner.
Yeah, that's just fine. That's more than fine. I think what starts to chap me now, and I don't know what the right solution is. I think tradition in sports and in life can be a really good thing, but not every tradition makes sense, and not every tradition is worth upholding. And this would be one of those where just because a bunch of old dudes say, "You owe me a beer," like, maybe that's the way you did it before, but this guy who's in his 20s and maybe can't even afford that $300 tab shouldn't have to leave the day that he hit a hole-in-one, like, dejected that he's out of pocket all this money.
No, we need to be reasonable here.
Yeah.
Buying drinks for your playing partners is a fun tradition. It's not going to break the bank. You buy them one or two drinks. It allows everybody to celebrate and cheers your hole-in-one. It's a tradition. All right. Cool. But you don't even have to do that. This particular scenario is absurd. He should not buy all those rich old white guys' drinks. One thing I've seen guys do, and somebody texted it in on the Vancouver 4 text line, this is optional too, but it's kind of a cool thing to keep with the tradition. I've seen guys buy kegs of beer or a bottle of booze, and the club puts it out for anyone to take a pull. And they put out a sign. I think that happened at Royal Oaks one time. I was playing and come back in after playing, and there's a keg and there's a sign that says, "Hey, so-and-so got a hole-in-one, free beer." And so you grab your beer and you go on about your day. That's a cool way to do it. Again, yeah.
Vancouver 4 text line says, "My dad got one at his course and he just paid for a keg for the bar and it was open to everyone." I think that's because what does a keg of beer cost? Like 80 bucks? 100 bucks?
Yeah, I don't even think 100 bucks, right?
I don't know.
It depends on what the club sells it to
sure.
you for, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like somebody said, when are you going to start seeing a tip jar next to a green? Well, I mean, you know, you could tip your superintendents.
And also, isn't there the tradition, this also brought up by the Vancouver 4 text line, isn't it totally backwards? Shouldn't the idea be that if you hit a hole-in-one, you go to the clubhouse, and anyone that is in there has to buy you a drink?
And you get housed.
And I get 12 of them because there's 12 of you in here, and I ace.
Well, it makes way more sense that way.
Yes.
I mean, look, when you have to buy, anybody that's ever plunked down their card to pick up the tab for an entire group of people, you're like, damn, dude, that adds up fast.
See, here we get pushback.
65 guys.
Vancouver 4 text line. Isaac, you and the cheap youngin are both wrong. You buy the group in the bar around. That's the rule. Stop being cheap peas and do the right thing.
That is, yeah, I mean, I think I would have done that. But There was no one in there.
And also, buying a round for the guys in the bar is usually, like, depending on the club, I can't speak for all of them, but I feel like it's like 8 to 12 people, not a league of 65 dudes.
It's also not being cheap. It's just, like, again, like I'm saying, I was ready to bite the bullet on these, but it just, in my scenarios, just wasn't there wasn't a captive group of guys sitting there waiting for me to buy them a drink. It just wasn't the thing. In any of my scenarios, one was like early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The one at Edgewater. I mean, I don't think they allow people like me in the bar. We didn't go to the bar. Maybe that's what he's saying, is that you're supposed to go into the bar, say, "Hey, I got a hole in one, drinks on me."
Whoever's there. So, and this is why the rule shouldn't be steadfast. Regardless, another text coming in saying, "My only hole in one was during a charity scramble tournament. 144 players at lunch after the round, and a number of them expecting drinks all around."
Yeah.
No, see, you do on, not man. Have to buy 144 drinks.
That's right. I think that's silly. And you're right. It's like, it's so backwards. It's like, what if
I'm the winner here? I shouldn't be out money.
Yeah. If you get a hole in one and 12 people buy you a drink, that's kind of funny, because now you're like, oh crap, I got
for sure.
I need an Uber, and it's not, and it doesn't break anyone's bank. It's 12 different guys buying one guy a drink or whatever it is. I don't even think anybody really knows where this came from. I was reading about it. There are a couple of I don't know. Ideas about where it came from. One is that clubs back in the olden days wanted to encourage people to spend money, and so they said, "Hey, you got a hole in one, you got to buy everybody a drink," and it just kind of stuck. Another one is that
amazing that logic worked.
Another one is that clubs made it up so that it would sort of dissuade people from making up hole in one stories.
Oh, okay. So that they wouldn't come trotting back to the clubhouse thinking, well, why would I say that if it one didn't happen, and two, I'm going to be out a bunch of money?
Well, now I'm going to have to buy a bunch of drinks, so I'm not going to make up.
Yeah, it's not worth the lie.
Made an ace. Because back in the day, you probably did make that.
That makes maybe even more sense to me.
Yeah. So the club said you had to buy drinks, and so then people would stop making up the story. I don't know. They don't know where it came from.
Now, this would be impossible to police because people would take multiple shots and whatever, but I would like to kind of get a Las Vegas-style rolling jackpot going for, like, teas at a club or whatever.
Well, they do at some clubs.
Well, but the idea being, if you want to get the progressive jackpot, you got to put a dollar in every time that you take a shot. And so, like, you can play or you don't have to, but I like the idea of showing up to a hole and nobody's had a hole in one there for 3 weeks, and I put my dollar in and then I get one and I get the whole pile of cash.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know how you would administer that, but that would be fun.
Well, it goes along. You know, a lot of golf clubs do have hole-in-one insurance. A lot of the private clubs.
I didn't know that.
They have that, yeah. And so when you get a hole-in-one, you get the pot. Or guys put in for a hole-in-one.
Well, that sounds fun. I would like that.
Yeah, and then there's a whole thing there. Do you know what the record is for holes-in-one? One person, verified?
Oh, man.
This is crazy. When I saw this is crazy. This guy is 65 years old.
Let's see. My guess, is it a situation where he plays the same course every single day, maybe multiple times a day, and so it's the same hole over and over again? Or is it just a really good golfer?
I don't know that. I don't know what course
I'm going to say he has 246 of them.
Yeah, they call him the King of Aces. His name is Mansell Davis. What'd you say, 200 and what?
246.
No.
Well, you said I wouldn't believe the number, so I came up with one I wouldn't believe.
Well, now it's going to be less.
He has 71.
51. Oh. He has 51 aces,
that's
dude.
That's a ton.
Can you imagine that?
No. No, I can't. I've, like, rolled it past two or three times, and that got my sports pants a little tight.
Tell you what, it's a fun thing. Never gets old, the hole-in-one.
I like the Joey story of the one that was blind.
Yeah.
And then he went up there, and there were two balls in the hole. And one of them was a hole-in-one from the wrong tee box. It's amazing.
It was some guy from the other hole.
Yeah, total Shank City.
I tell you what, I really think we need to streamline this. You know, somebody said, come on, Rob, get your sport together. I agree. We're all fragmented on this. I think this needs to be streamlined, and I think that when you get a hole-in-one, you should buy drinks for your playing partners in your group, and that is it. If you want to, out of the kindness of your heart, buy the bar a keg or a bottle, you can do that. You can buy as many drinks as you want, but I don't think it should be required, especially in this scenario. This kid's in his 20s.
I also think that you should be able to go to the clubhouse and just drink for free until you're done.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
You're the one with the great day. Weird. Which American cities consume the most weed? Next on the fam. I do believe I jinxed the no-hitter. Thank you.
Good for you. Yeah. Well done.
I like doing that, especially when it's the stupid Astros. Screw the Astros. Although the Royals are still getting shut out.
Mm-hmm.
1-0.
Good for the Mariners.
Oh, no, wait. They haven't gotten a hit. Never mind.
No-hitter's still on.
I'm still trying to jinx it.
Yeah, keep
by
it, keep
saying
it
that I jinxed it. 6 innings for Amber Valdez. That guy, God, has. Am I wrong? He's thrown multiple no-hitters. And has flirted with 18 more.
He had one this year, right?
Yeah.
And then I think maybe he was also part of a combined one, perhaps. I don't know that he's thrown two. I don't think that he's thrown two complete game no-hitters, but maybe.
How many no-hitters did Nolan Ryan have?
I think it was 7.
Was it?
God. Which is just an absurd figure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk weed.
Yeah.
You love your weed?
Sure. I mean,
does your wife partake?
She does not. My wife does not like the way the weed makes her feel. My wife more of the wine type. Although, I think she's going the way of Nurse Nice. She kind of doesn't love the way alcohol feels, makes her feel anymore. And she rarely has a drink now. She will for an occasion or if we go out to dinner or something, but not a end of the night, have a glass type.
Yeah, I tell you what, my wife, man, she doesn't drink that much anymore. I think a lot of people are, I don't know. I feel like
people are starting to realize that the cost benefit analysis isn't really there.
I think it's just people at our age just kind of bodies can't handle it anymore. Yeah. But I don't know. Something's going on out there. Well, you know, legalize weed. So what 10 cities do you think consume the most weed in the United States? There are some surprises here.
Okay.
I will tell you.
Well, let's start with Portland.
They are number 8.
Let's go to the Bay Area, maybe Oakland.
Well, wait. Doesn't it surprise you that Portland's only 8th?
Yeah, a little bit.
It says 5 metric tons per year consumed in Portland. We were declared the weed capital of the United States in 2023.
Oh, so we've been slipping.
PCC is now also offering cannabis programs to students who want to pursue a career in the marijuana industry.
Mm.
Oregon is included among the states that smoke the most weed in America, with an estimated 32.8% of its adult population having smoked up within the past year. Oregon is also the state with the most dispensaries per capita. Mm. We have 16.5 cannabis dispensaries per 100,000 people. So Oregon's doing great in the weed department.
Mm-hmm.
Portland, just number 8. What else did you say?
I was going to say Oakland.
Not on the list. That's a great guess.
How about San Francisco?
Also, shockingly, not on the list.
Interesting.
Of the top 10.
Well, let's go further south. Can we do San Diego?
Not on the list.
Wow.
This is stunning.
Let's go. I was going to say Austin, but Texas, I don't think they like there.
Nope.
Let's go Vegas.
There you go. Number 10.
Seattle?
Seattle's number 9. For Seattle, it says, reaffirming the importance of the medicinal benefits of marijuana, a new law took effect in Washington State, removing the requirement for patients with a medical cannabis card to pay the 35% excise tax. With an average price per ounce of around $234 for high-quality weed. My God. Is that high? Washington is included among the states with the cheapest weed in America. Apparently not. Didn't know that. Who's got better weed, Washington or Oregon?
I don't actually know. Do they come from the same place sometimes?
Should we know that?
I don't know.
Vegas was 10th. So you've got the,
I got
bottom,
the bottom three of your top 10.
Isn't that wild? Okay.
Now I've looked up a list of other states where it's legal to try to help me out here.
That helps.
Let's go Boston.
Number not on the list.
Okay. How about Newark, New Jersey?
Not on the list.
New Jersey's legal, but I think New York is not. So I'm.
No, it is.
Chicago?
Number 3.
Really? Okay.
Well played. Okay. Yeah, they smoke a lot of weed up there.
How about Minneapolis?
Not on the list.
Hmm.
I'll help you out.
Please do.
Well, you're missing an obvious one. Denver.
Oh, duh.
Hello.
Yeah.
7. It says Colorado's weed market has rapidly declined.
Still missing 1 and 2, though.
Mostly due to the plummeting prices. In 2020, the state's legal cannabis market soared to $2.2 billion. But just 3 years later, sales have declined to $1.5 billion, while cannabis tax revenues also fell by 30%. Isn't that interesting?
How about Phoenix?
That's good guess. Number five.
Okay.
There's just a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
You're missing four of them.
I know.
You got Philly at number six.
Okay. Didn't know it was legal there. Detroit?
Great guess. Not on the list.
It's legal in Michigan.
Well, the three of the top four are huge cities. You've got Houston at four.
Okay. So then Dallas?
It is Texas.
Is Dallas in there too?
No. L.A. is two and New York City is one.
Yeah, L.A. I should have guessed. That was dumb. New York City. For some reason, I didn't know it was real or legal in New York City or New York. I thought it was outlawed.
I think it is.
Is that recent or?
I don't know. Cities not on the list that are shocking. Miami. Come on.
Yeah. Well, are they doing all the other yeah, drugs?
That's more blow.
Blow, ecstasy.
I thought Honolulu would for sure be up there.
Oh.
Not on the list.
Huh.
And Washington, D.C. not on the list.
Yeah, that's an upset. That's surprising.
So what it says for New York City, the Big Apple is the city that consumes the most weed in America, although New York has finally started the legal sale of recreational cannabis. The state's budding industry is marred by illegal dealers, which outnumber their licensed counterparts by more than 10 times. However, a recent crackdown by the New York State Cannabis Enforcement Task Force is proving to be effective, with 114 rogue stores shut down and over $30 million worth of illegal products seized. An estimated 12.6% of New Yorkers aged 18 and older reported using cannabis in the past 30 days. Wow, that's the whole state.
What was that figure for Oregon? Because they said it was like 32% over the last year, but what's over the last month, I wonder?
Didn't say.
I'd love to be able to compare that, yeah. Also, I mean, yeah.
Now, you're out there puffing in the garage while your kids are sleeping?
Hell yeah. No. not necessarily like that, but I tend to prefer, I kind of tend to prefer the green stuff over the booze.
Yeah. I take gummies now.
Yeah.
They help me sleep.
Yeah, that's great. The thing about gummies for me, though, is I just always have a hard time regulating them. Like, it'll either feel like not really enough, or then, oh, no, that's too much. And I have kids, so I can't be in the, oh, that's too much. And so then I'm like, more frequently, like, well, that's not enough. I didn't really.
Yeah, you got to get your dosage right.
Got to figure it out.
So that you can handle your S-head kids, you know?
That's right.
It's a big deal.
Well, everyone, yeah. They're up like 17 times a night, so.
Are they?
No, maybe not.
Crawling into your bed?
Maybe not 17. No.
What are they doing?
The oldest one now, the youngest one, I mean, he's 10 months old, so he just rolls around and cries if he's like wants food or is wet or something, or loses his pacifier. But the older one, who's 3.5, he now just, the last week, he's been getting up between midnight and 1:30 and just walking, coming out of his room, walking down the hallway, going to the living room and just sitting on the couch. And just sitting there. Like, and we hear him because he's like loud and clumsy. And we're like, hey, what's going on, buddy? And then he'll be like, I need some milk or something like that. And we're like, no, we need to go back to bed. But he just gets up out of bed in the middle of the night, walks down to the other end of the house and sits there. And that's been happening nightly.
Is he a psycho?
Maybe. It's probably too early to tell.
You know, I know. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago that truly sleepwalks. They sleepwalk, like really sleepwalk. And it's terrifying.
I had a couple incidents of that when I was a kid. That my dad told me about.
Really?
He said that one time, the first house I grew up in was a single story, bedrooms on one side of the house, kind of living area on the other. And so I came out of my bedroom, I was 7 or 8, I guess. And I walked all the way to the other end of the house where my dad was like on the computer doing something. And I opened up the sliding glass door and I walked into the backyard and I dropped my pants and I just started peeing into the dog's bowl.
Oh, fantastic.
Into the dog's water bowl. My dad's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to the bathroom. And he's like, okay. And I finished up and I just walked back to bed. Did not remember a thing. I heard about it the next morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, dude.
There was one other incident where I just like... I left my room and I just tried to like lay down on the floor in somebody else's room and they're like, no, what are you doing here?
Pretty scary.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
Like you don't even know what the hell's going on. What if you just grabbed a butcher knife and started, you know?
Well, I had a family friend whose dad, he grew up in like Oakland and and was in a kind of busy city type spot. And he was like sleepwalking as a third or fourth grader. And he'd like walk out of the house and start walking down the street.
Yeah.
And people, and like, he didn't know. It wasn't his fault. Just,
whoa.
Yeah.
They locked them doors. All right, coming up next, we've got a horny dolphin.
Touching people.
Yeah. It's not good. That's next. Here's Buck with Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I've got dolphin news. Suk would love this. His world famous.
Yeah, this preceded me, but I've heard many a tale about this famous dolphin story.
Yeah, well, he, what did he do? Like softcore dolphin porn or something one time? It's famous.
Something like that.
I blocked it out, but this was before you were on
lives
the show.
Lives in primetime infamy.
Yeah, it does. Dolphin porn. But he would like this. A series of dolphin attacks in Wakasa Bay in Japan is believed to be the doing of a lone male bottlenose dolphin looking for friends or a mate, but only finding humans. And he keeps biting people. And they don't really know why. They just think he's lonely. Because the bites... Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like the kid who hits on the playground because he doesn't have any friends.
Right. Yeah, he's just... Yeah, he's acting out.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean to hit you. Well, they're saying that the bites aren't actually... Like... Dolphins can be a-holes, like they can bite the S out of you.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty smart. They know that they rape their own species. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of rape in that culture.
Yeah. Rape it. I mean, I'm not laughing, but in that culture. The dolphin culture.
The dolphin culture.
The dolphin rape culture.
I'm gay.
Well, so they don't really know what this dolphin's doing because the dolphin, if it perceives humans as a threat, it's going to act in self-defense. It's going to bite the S out of you. But it's not doing that. It's nibbling. It's kind of like playfully biting at humans like, hey, baby, what's your name? And so they don't really understand what's going on with this dolphin.
So really more of a nibble than a bite.
But they have a very gentle reputation. It's not really biting, but, you know, I mean, I think even a nibble type bite from a dolphin is actually might draw blood, you know, or hurt.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
You know what I mean? So it's scaring people, but they're just saying, look, the dolphin just needs a little love. But if that were any other animal, like think of any other animal that's doing this, people would go crazy. Like what if there were a bear that were just running around the Oregon forests, was just running around the Oregon forests, and it was just biting people, but playfully. And, like, kind of batting you around just, you know, just a little bit. And then running off. Like, what? I mean, that'd be front page news.
Well, I mean, of course, we can stay out of the ocean if we want to. You can't stay out off of the land. So, like, I mean, I guess you could avoid the area where the bear is, maybe, but... I mean, if you don't want this dolphin to do stuff to you, you could probably avoid him, right? Maybe. And I'm sure it's bothering the people that like the water.
What I'm saying is, like, give me another animal where this is just kind of laughed off. Like,
oh, okay.
If any animal is doing this, like, people are still going in the water. And like, it's just a dolphin.
Well, it's
just,
I mean, yeah, because even if it were a non- like killer, like a non-life-threatening shark. If you just said the word shark with something that like a nurse biting. Shark that doesn't actually have teeth or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are going crazy. You can't swim in that water forever.
Mm-hmm.
The dolphin's aim could also be sexually motivated. They're saying some researchers think the dolphin could be trying to engage in mating behaviors.
Maybe like a... wait, so if we're taking animals outside of the water too?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I
like
think
a
you
bear?
Could get it like a koala, maybe. Oh, it's just a little koala biting people. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I'm trying to think. Trying to think of anything cute and potentially cuddly and slow. Yeah.
Maybe like a little horny rabbit.
Just out there humping you.
Give him hot milk.
No.
Give him cookies.
What do you think about that?
I don't like it.
Well, dolphins. I don't know if you've ever done the swimming with dolphins and stuff, like felt them up and whatnot.
Yeah,
we did that in Hawaii.
Yeah, I've done that once.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's whatever. But they
it's a cool thing for kids when they're in their like.
It is.
Know. Yeah,
but I tell you, the one thing that jumps out at you about these dolphins, man, they are like those things are muscular.
They're muscle tubes.
Dude,
they're just giant muscle tubes.
It's unbelievable to feel those things up, and they can do some serious damage, like if they want to. So this is not it. This is actually a serious story, but they. This dolphin is not, they don't know why he's being so playful and yet still biting little Japanese people. All right, well, we got to go.
We do.
Are we done?
No. Well, I mean, after the next segment, we'll be done.
All right. That's it. We're going to wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, well, we got to go.
Well, not yet. We got like 4 minutes.
Oh, 4 minutes. Wow. All right, well, I don't have any content here.
Oh, cool.
I can tell you that the Mariners are up 5-0 in the first inning and have the bases loaded, and Julio Rodriguez is at the plate.
Ooh.
What do you suppose he does? I'm guessing he strikes out, but they've already got 5 on the board, 3 more on the base paths. That's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
Playing the Angels. The Royals are still being no-hit.
Oh.
7 innings, Framber Valdez of the stupid Astros. I just realized, too, that golfing on Sunday is okay because the NFL hasn't started. But you're in father mode, so you probably can't do it. And by the way, he struck out.
I was going to say he was going to pop out to foul territory, but you nailed it.
But I just realized, you know, football, as much as we've been talking about it here on the program, it's kind of snuck up on me. And now I'm like, well, wait a minute. I was thinking, like, what am I going to do tomorrow? I've got a wide open day. Like, what am I going to do? Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to
watch football.
I forgot.
Yeah.
I have to watch football. And then I'm golfing on Sunday, which is good because there's no NFL. But I got to tell you, one big conundrum in my life every fall is, when do I play golf?
Yeah.
On the weekend.
I've been there.
Because I like to play golf at least once a weekend.
Yeah, I generally would schedule golf around the Ducks, mostly because I kind of had to for working the post-game show and whatnot. But as long as I can see the Ducks, if there's a big marquee game, maybe I'll schedule it. Yeah. It's kind of week-dependent, I guess. And, you know, as a 49ers fan or, you know, if you're a Seahawks fan out here, sometimes your team is on the East Coast playing a different time zone and... So maybe it works out that you can get or if it's a home game, get a morning round in before they start at 1. I usually kind of plan around that.
I think I don't know. I prefer to play on Saturday, not Sunday. Like, if you have to play golf on one of the 2 days, I'm going Saturday.
Oh, I think I would prefer Saturday as well. But I think as far as what I'd rather miss, like, I'd rather miss, like, maybe the first slate of NFL games and then see the second.
Yeah, see, I'm the other way around. I'd rather just take my chances that college is just a... Like, I can go back and watch the one or two good college games.
Well, like,
I
next week, like, I'll be way more in on the NFL week one than I will be college's week two.
All so right, that's what I'm saying.
Week dependent.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, oh, wow, they took Valdez out of the game. But still a no-hitter in the eighth. Everybody have a great and safe Labor Day weekend. We do not have a show on Monday, so
nope.
We will all reconvene on Tuesday, 3-7 on The Fan. Come on.
Ships of Spain.
on the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.